With the holidays coming up, are you bracing yourself? Because you know you're going to be seeing friends and family that you usually don't have to deal with. And these are folks that tend to have a lot of opinions and are more than happy to share them when it comes to your food choices and your healthcare choices. Well, if you find the food police getting in the way of your weight loss efforts, where you find yourself rebelling against what they're saying, or you just really don't know how to respond to them, this episode is going to be really helpful. I'm going to give you a four-step process, as well as some suggestions on what you can say, and then you can just customize it for your own particular situation. All right, so without further ado, let's get started. Welcome to the Happy and Healthy Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Lang, and this podcast is dedicated to my fellow women in STEM. After working in high tech for 10 years, in 2004, I became the proud owner of Pacific Heights Health Club in San Francisco, where I worked with thousands of clients over the span of 15 years to help them reach their health and fitness goals. Now I'm sharing what I've learned about what works as well as what doesn't work when it comes to making healthy habits stick. So, if you want to find out what it takes to achieve lasting weight loss, to create deep health, and feel empowered to live the life you want, you're in the right place. Episode number 200. Well, hi there, Amy here. Thank you so much for joining me today. So last week, we talked about food pushers and food offerers. So this is in preparation for the upcoming holiday season. And before we get into dealing with the food police in this episode, I want to remind folks that I have a free training coming up next Saturday or this Saturday, depending on when you're listening to this episode. It's November 18th, 2023 at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. So if you want to sign up for this training on how to stop stress eating, just go to moxie-club.com/stop-stressing. And I will include the link in the show notes. So you don't, if you're driving, you don't have to memorize that. You just got to go to the show notes. All right. So last week, in preparation for the holidays, we talked about the food pushers and food offerers. So these are the folks who are either bringing in treats or actually at maybe a family gathering might be the ones that are saying things like, oh, you're so skinny. You don't eat enough. Have some more. Right? My grandmother used to put food on my plate. And then you have the food offerers. These are the folks who bring in treats. Have some. I made them just for you. That kind of thing. So these are the folks on the one end who are trying to encourage you to eat. And you may interpret their actions as sabotaging your weight loss efforts, or you could interpret it, which probably is more the case, as just someone who is sharing their love language of food or trying not to be rude. Okay. On the other end, we've got the food police. So these are the folks that ask questions like, should you really be eating that? Or they might be the folks that make statements like, you should avoid sugar and refined flour, or you should avoid bad carbs, whatever bad actually means, right? And I know I've talked about this before. My dad will say things like, Coke will make you fat. Drinking Coke will make you fat. So when we talk about the food police, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. right? I'm going to say these are people who are trying to be helpful, but they can come across as bossy and even hurtful when they're actually trying to address someone else's health issues or weight issues. Okay, so again, good intentions and a long history of commenting on other people's food choices, what's on your plate. Now, if you happen to be a member of the food police force, I think what's really important here is to understand that your comments can actually be undermining the other person's sense of agency and actually creating more resistance to change as opposed to lessening it. So when I say agency in psychology, I'm referring to that feeling, or I should say the belief, of having the power and capability to produce a desired effect, something you want, right? So to be able to exert influence over any given situation and move it closer to what you actually want or need. Now, when we talk about the food police, the reason why it can be so harmful, why it feels so bad to be on the receiving end of those comments, is because, well, it's frankly all about someone else's judgment about you or your behavior. So when I say judgment, I'm talking about whether it's good or bad, or right or wrong. And when we talk about behavior, if you've done something, quote, wrong, then there's guilt associated with it. Now, the issue here is that when it comes to the food police, we're often talking about foods that we like to eat, that we enjoy eating, that we like the taste of, stuff that maybe has more fat or more sugar. And in objective terms, it may not be the healthiest choice in terms of nutrition. It can be nourishing in other ways, but maybe not in terms of actual nutrient density, right? But what happens is that oftentimes when we feel guilty about something we've done, we make it mean something about ourselves as a person. So it could end up being that maybe you're out of integrity, right? You said you weren't going to do something and you did it anyway. It could be that, oh, I lack willpower, or I need more discipline. So when we talk about judgment here, I think it's really important to really make a distinction between behavior and the person, as in if they're a good or bad person. So ultimately, though, when it comes to your food decisions, I think what we want to do is really go back to like judgment versus discernment. So when I say discernment, I'm really talking about your perception without judgment. So your ability to make a distinction between two things that might seem similar but are actually different. So a non-food example I like to use is when we talk about self-love. A lot of times people will say self-love or self-care would mean that I'm going to indulge and eat anything I want. That's actually a form of self-love. And I would actually say indulgence at that level, when you're talking about I'm going to eat as much as I want, regardless of whether or not I'm hungry or not, where you're actually using the food to solve a non-hunger, non-physical hunger problem. That's not actually love, right? That's sort of out of control. That's avoiding a feeling. And if you look at something like enablement, where maybe when we talk about like addiction, or it doesn't even have to be that extreme, but just that whole, you know, if you see your child doing something and they're going to make a mistake, are you allowing that mistake to occur so that they can then experience the natural consequences of that mistake? Or are you intervening to try to prevent the fall, if you will? Because that could be a form of enablement where the reason why you're taking action is more because you're trying to avoid your own discomfort as opposed to what's good for the other person, right? So when we talk about discernment here, when it comes to your own food choices, I'm saying to make a decision about whether you're going to eat something or not, ultimately based on what's in your own best interest. And you get to determine what that is, right? So just like with the food pushers, this is really about creating and setting healthy boundaries. So knowing what your wants and needs are, what your preferences are, what the non-negotiables are, what's a deal breaker, right? And then with the luxury of time, again, what you want to do is think about situations where if someone else has said something to you that you have found irritating or annoying, where they're focusing on what's on your plate and sharing their opinion, you can use that four-step process that I talked about last time with the food pushers. This is again from Marshall Rosenberg in the book Nonviolent Communication. And the four steps are observation, feeling, need, and request. So you would start by saying, I'd like to make a simple request. And for the best results, you want to start with I statements, where you're taking ownership. So what you don't want to do is say something like, I'd like to make a simple request. When you say blah, 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 whatever that is, instead, start with, when I hear you say things like, should you really be eating that? Or, you should really avoid eating that ice cream, it's fattening. Like, whatever it is. Now you're going to talk about your feeling. I feel annoyed and hurt because the question or the statement is really loaded with criticism. And while I know your comments are coming from a place of love and caring for me, I want you to know your comment doesn't help. So here's my request. Can you please refrain from commenting on my food choices? And if this is the first time that you're standing up for yourself and setting that boundary, it's very likely that the other person may be surprised, may not react the way that you would like. And so a lot of times, if you have not actually spoken up, it could be because you don't want to hurt the other person's feelings, even if they are hurting yours. But standing up for yourself, you need to remember that other people's feelings are not your responsibility. Okay. And if you're able to actually communicate things in a calm manner where you're taking ownership, you're also giving the other person an opportunity to maybe correct, to clarify. Right? They may try to defend what they've done, and that's okay. Knowing that what you're doing is really taking care of your needs. Because if you don't do it, who else is really responsible for that? Right? As grown adults, that's something that we're responsible for, not someone else. So I've been talking here about the food police as in what someone else is saying in your ear, right? There's also the food police that we have internalized. So these are the voices in your head that criticize or judge or shame, or you hear like unsolicited advice on your eating or your exercise or your healthcare decisions, whatever they may be, right? Again, these are the voices that we've internalized. So one of the things that happens when we have negative self-talk, so I would put food police as a form of negative self-talk, is that we've internalized what we've heard other people say. So not only are we the victim in the sense of we feel like we're being attacked or criticized or judged, we're also the ones doing the judging, right? The inner critic, we call it the inner critic. So if you find yourself saying things that you've heard other people say that are really unkind, really, like even if someone were trying to be helpful, is what is being said with kindness and compassion? So if you catch yourself hearing the food police berating you, especially during the holidays, because that's a lot of that is going to be going on. But even, actually, I would say year-round it's probably happening if you've been struggling with your weight. What I want you to try doing is ask yourself what your healthiest self would say in that moment. So the healthiest self is that version of you who is completely at peace with food and with your body. How would that healthiest self respond? Respond to a comment like, should you be eating that? Well, here are four examples you could try. I can eat some ice cream. It's just another food, no better or worse than other foods. If someone were saying to avoid sugar or fat, and you like cream and sugar in your coffee, the healthiest self, that version of you, would be saying, I prefer my coffee with cream and sugar. It's such a lovely start to my day. That would be me, right? Or at Thanksgiving this year, if someone's questioning your food choices, or you yourself maybe are debating what to eat, I want you to, again, get clear on what you want, what your preferences are. Enjoy the food. It could be something like, a salad just doesn't sound good to me right now. But those garlic mashed potatoes, wow, those look like they're really going to hit the spot. Remember, this is all about your boundaries. Know thyself. What are your wants? What are your needs? What are your preferences? And honoring them. So again, think, what would your healthiest self want? What does it appreciate? What is it grateful for? And then act according to that, as opposed to listening to the inner critic or that external critic and reacting to that. We want to respond to that inner wisdom. All right? So again, as a reminder, if you want some help dealing with the stress of the holidays, if you struggle with stress eating, I am offering a free training this coming Saturday, November 18th at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. And to sign up for this free training, again, it's How to Stop Stress Eating, all you have to do is go to moxie-club.com/stopstressing. All right? And another reminder and shameless plug, my new book, Thoughts Are Habits 2, Master Your Triggers, Free Yourself from Diet Culture, and Rediscover Joyful Eating, is going to be available really soon. So to get on the early notification list for when it's actually available for purchase, just go to thoughtsarehabits2.com and you can actually download the excerpt and that will automatically get you on the email list for when the notification goes out. All right. So I'm going to wrap things up today with a quote from one of my favorite actors, Alan Alda. Your assumptions are your windows on the world. Scrub them off every once in a while, or the light won't come in. You've been listening to the Happy and Healthy Podcast with Amy Lang. If you enjoyed today's episode, by all means, hit the subscribe button now. If you're ready to get started, visit my website, moxieclub.com. That's moxie-club.com. And sign up for my free mini course, How to Lose Weight for the Last Time. And remember, making your choices when you're in a state of abundance is where the magic happens.